The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly. This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's The Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. It's the Radio City Legends. It's 6:30 on a Thursday night, and today has seen some massive football news break. John Aldridge is fit for the Legends game on Saturday.
Just for 10
Get
minutes.
Get your calls in about it throughout the course of the next hour. Oh, I've got a feeling it could be a busy show. We've got the two Aussies in. John's nickname as a lad was Aussie, and Leon Osman as well. Hello, Aussie.
Good evening.
He said to me before he came in, he said, every time you ask me to come on the show, some big news breaks.
Yeah. It's good news, you know, from last time, obviously, it was the Lukaku episode, and you done really well, I had to say, Aussie, there, mate. But,
had tonight, the shield up that night, didn't I?
No, it's all good for you tonight. I'm sure it'll be easy because, I'm looking from Liverpool point of view. It's great for the city. It's what good Evertonians out there deserve. We all know that. It's been a long time coming, and the sooner the better for them. Absolutely.
Oh, that's our producer, Dave Downey. Get this off, David.
Love it, Dave.
He's smiling like a Cheshire cat. Soon as they come in, isn't
he? Hey. Unfortunately, I've got Christmas no control day, mate, this. He's a bit tired. He's been up a long time talking about Bramley Moor, Doc. So basically, me and Ozzy had to sit down for half an hour and go through a sheet which described what had happened today. Ozzy, are you any clearer after half an hour's homework?
Not with all the details, to be honest. It's it's quite complicated. It's, you know, the council are being funded money to provide security for, you know, I'm not quite sure of all the details so far, but, you know, what I do like is the fact that steps have been made. There's the road has been started to secure a new stadium. We've got the land. We now have to go through the hoops of the planning permission, apparently, but Everton's positive at the moment, and you know, it's good news on the Blue Arthur Merseyside.
So they've agreed to buy the piece of land. That's the starting point. I think that's what we understand from today, isn't it? And they've sort of laid out the financial structure of the long term of paying for a £300 million stadium. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you get a good stadium for £300 million. You must get a good stadium for £300 million, mustn't you?
Yeah. Sometimes, probably the cost will grow. But let's not forget now, you know, teams generally are very well off. You know, there's £140 million. I keep on saying comes through revenue, as long as you keep your status in the Premier League, you know, from media rights every year, whatever else comes in as a bonus, that's just from media rights. So if Everton's got the accountants in place, I'm sure that will go a fair way to help fund it as well. Because last year, the year before, was only about 70. Okay, you've still got to keep the squad good and large on it, you know, but certainly where is money concerned, over a period of time, would it be 10 years? Arsenal took 10 years to pay for theirs, if you remember, and they had to go in debt. Mm. And Arsene Wenger had to make sure that they stayed in the Champions League for 10 years on a bounce to pay for it, and he did. They've done fantastic to do that. Obviously, Everton, to be honest, it's just staying in the Premiership to secure it, I'd imagine. I'm not accountant, I don't know. But you look at stats and paperwork, and that's a lot of money coming in every year, isn't it?
Emotionally, then, for yourself, who had a full career at Goodison Park, but what does it feel like, this thought of moving away from there, Ozzy?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a big thing to leave Goodison Park. I think it's 125 years now or something close to that of Goodison Park and the history and everything. But, you know, for the club to move forward and, you know, to keep with the times and to, you know, the top six are getting away at the moment. And for us to go with them, which we are doing, you know, this is one of the necessary steps. And unfortunately, that looks like it's going to have to be with leaving Goodison Park behind. But, you know, that's part of football. Sometimes you've got to move with the times. And although it'll be a bit of a wrench, it's definitely necessary as far as I'm concerned.
Because the scenario that Liverpool faced was very different, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember us having the conversation, should we stay, should we go, what would suit you better?
Yeah.
But I think Goodison's in a bit more of a...
They're stuck. They can't go anywhere. Yeah, they can't go left, they can't go right, they can't go anywhere, can they?
The makeup of the way the streets are, and you can't built that way because of the angles of the streets and the schools. It's just impossible for Everton to do any more with the stadium that's currently there. And you know, the church itself is something that we could never knock down. And you know, it just looks like we've now had to make the decision to go, and I think it's the right one.
You don't forget, we went through this scenario when the two cowboys from America got the spades out and dug a hole, and then...
Yeehaw, we loved them, we did.
And then forgot about it. They rolled into the sunset, never to be seen again. But where Everton's going, it's what a location.
Prime site, isn't it?
Under the Mersey.
Just looking at the top of the tower right now, it'll be an incredible setting. That's... You know, let's hope we jump through all the hoops. You know, we've had things break down in the past, but you know, Moshiri's come in and he seems very serious about the whole project. He's tried to find a site. He wasn't happy with. He's found another site. It's now we've now looked like we've secured the site. Obviously, there's more things to jump through, but it seems a very serious project to get this sorted. And you know, that's great for us, but. You know, if you look at the site, especially out this Radio City Tower, it looks like it could be incredible. And you know, imagine the blue light shining on the Mersey come game time.
The royal blue Mersey and all that.
I heard the song. You know, I used to sing it. It was in the '60s and the '70s.
Yeah. Ozzy said, imagine if you owned a pub opposite that site right now, and there is a pub down there.
They're having a party tonight.
You went and bought one 2 weeks ago. Quids in,
gone right up. I'll just read you the front page headline off the Financial Times. So they're whiz kids. They know what they're talking about here. Everton agree innovative finance model with Liverpool City Council to support £300 million stadium move. Everton have received backing from Liverpool City Council to act as its guarantors for the costs of their proposed new stadium at Bramley Moor Dock. Everton revealed in a statement on their website the council will not help finance the new stadium, which will cost in excess of £300 million, but there will be a payment year on year to the city council for the council to act as the guarantor. Does that make sense to you, John?
Indirectly.
People will look further and further.
So obviously, money will get pumped into the city as well. It sounds like a good deal on both sides of the fence, doesn't it?
Well, there'll be a lot of work to do with the infrastructure down there, won't there, with roads and... because I tell you, it can get busy anyway time down there.
Well, that's the hard part early on, isn't it, really?
Right, happy Evertonians, give us a shout. Anyone out there, Blues, give us a ring. 0151 472 0967. 472 0967. Is it a watershed moment for yourself? This week also saw the very sad passing of Ronnie Moran. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago when we gave a book away, didn't we? His influence on football and Liverpool was ginormous, part of the legendary boot room. Very sad day, but I think the last 2 days has been spent with people reflecting on some really happy stories about a very intelligent and creative and influential person in Liverpool's history.
He's not been well for some time, Ronnie. We've all known about that, you know, unfortunately. You know, he's Liverpool probably longer than anyone else and seen every trophy more or less that we won up till the noughties. Liverpool through and through and through. You know, when I first got to Liverpool, I didn't really know what to expect from the coaches, the trainers, but I know now Ronnie made sure you kept your feet on your ground. So I've come from Oxford, you know, into Liverpool, which is massive for me. First training session, he's mullered me. The first training session, mullering me all over the place. I'm thinking, what have I got here? But most of the time, it was about when I got the ball, like when I was at Oxford and other clubs, I'd get the ball, make a pass, and he'd admire your pass. But Liverpool, you weren't allowed to stand. He'd come and say, move, you bugger, and give you a smack. You know, what's that all about? But every time, if you dreamt after you passed the ball, so automatically after being with Liverpool after about a month or two, when you passed, you moved automatically. So he got it, you know, installed into your brain, you know. It was just...
Imagine following you around the pitch, kicking you. Move, don't stand still, move.
Basically, it was like that. So he was following me all around when a newcomer come in to get them into the drift of how sharp the training was. But he loved Rushy. When Rushy went, he was devastated, you know what I mean? And I always remember when Rushy come back, we had always, every Thursday, we'd have shooting practice. The only day we'd have shooting practice, because Bruce Grobler used to play out on the five-a-sides, believe it or not. He'd never play in goal. So he got a bit of coaching on a Thursday. So we'd pass the ball into Ronnie, he'd lay it off, and then you'd have a shot. Anyway, we're lining up. So he's on the edge of the box. I fired it into him, and he laid it off on my right foot, and I smashed it, and it went over the bar. Not by far, but 6 inches, whatever. So Ray Alton went next. He said to me, hit the target. Hit the target, you so-and-so. So, and oh, here we go again. Ronnie's on me case. So Ray Alton went next, and he put it past the ball. He said, Ray, targets. Now Rushy went next. He put it into him. He laid it off for Rushy, Ronnie. Rushy smashed it, went right over the bar, and he went, happens in a game, son.
We've laughed about it ever since, you know.
Ray, what a football man. His Liverpool Football Club, absolutely different class.
And was he always the voice you could hear?
Yeah.
Because actually, for some of the managerial teams he worked with, whether it be maybe Bob or Shanks, or they weren't as loud as him on the sidelines.
No, Shanks didn't really shout from the dugout. Yeah. Bob Paisley then. Joe Fagan would have a little chirp, but always the voice you could hear was always Ronnie. He had the loudest voice. Mm. So if you're over the other side, he's the only one that could get across for the left winger or the right winger of the other side. So Ronnie was the one that your voice could hear all the time on. And if you see some old footage, you know, you can actually hear him belting out, you know, instructions from the sideline. And Kenny wouldn't talk anyway, you know what I mean? He would interpret for the other managers.
Ronnie did. Brilliant, brilliant character, and loads of great stories. Thoughts are with the family this week. Right, let's get to the phone lines on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Please gamble responsibly. First up tonight to talk about the Blues' brand new stadium is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Okay.
Listen, before we start, just rest in peace on him, right? A football man from Bull City and Bull Side for the club. So the pastor can get condolences on there.
Yeah, great.
It's just great news for the Blues, isn't it? Let's be honest. I'm 29, and this is the best I've seen Everton with a future. I've been born, and this is all about the 80s since my dad was watching. It's the worst kept secret, wasn't it? We know what else could happen and when it's going to come out, but it's just the financial what we're worried about. And I think the way that Everton have come about it, let's be $14 million a year for 40 years, that's not a lot of money these days. If you look at it now, because Everton going to use it as concerts to pay the money back that way, we don't know, do we?
No, we don't. We don't know what kind of job this it's going to look like when the planning permission is finished. You know, what we require is a good footballing stadium, you know, one that will keep the noise in, that will, you know, help the team on the pitch, but you know, the club will probably be looking to make as much money as they can, and if that's, you know, the ability to host concerts and stuff like that, then that might be an option. But you know, we've got the Echo down the road, so that'll be I don't know how the council will feel about that and whether that'll be viable. But
honestly, but the problem is with the Echo, it only holds 20,000. We're going to talk about at least a 50,000 seat stadium. So the obviously, where would you go for a concert to get the most money out of something? You go to the biggest stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. The big hitters would certainly. And you know, if we now build the stadium that's capable of hosting events, then fantastic. You know, nowadays they can do it without damaging pitches. They bring in some surfaces that are capable of, you know, making sure the surfaces, the football pitch is protected. So, I see the possibility.
Tottenham Hotspur's new one's going to be able to take it out.
Then place. That's right.
So maybe that is an option that Everton might have.
The good thing is we're in such an early stage that we can, and I'm pretty sure if they haven't done it already, they will do. They'll go around to all these top new stadiums that have been built in and find what's worked, what's been great, what's not worked, and they'll be able to pick the best parts out of all of these top stadiums that have been bought recently, and hopefully put them all in our new one.
Ideally, what we want is, I think that every Evertonian would agree with me, we want a stadium like Juventus or Dortmund, not these balls we have like at West Ham. The atmosphere goes. It has to be. Even in Anfield, you've got to keep the atmosphere. You've got to keep the fans. If you ask any football player, even when they come in interviews, even referees, where's the worst stadium they hate going to, and that's Goodison Park. Mm. And they say that in interviews. So we've got to keep that atmosphere. That's why we got, I think this one, this season at least, I think that's why we've got a good home record, because the fans are on the back all the time, and they'll be able to take that to the next stadium.
Ozzy, having played at every Premier League ground, is Goodison the best for sort of harnessing atmosphere?
Yeah, it's right up there. I mean, everyone will have their own opinions and whatnot, but, you know, when you get a bit of noise at Goodison on them big nights, then, you know, there's not many out there like it. And, you know, as you just mentioned there on the phone, and as everyone's seen this year, you have, like, the new ones like West Ham, where they're the big balls and they're far too open. They're not football stadiums. They're athletic stadiums that are being, you know, adapted as such that, you know, they just don't provide the same noise and the same intimidation. And that's what you need to help the fans become the 12th man, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what we'll look for.
But that's what West Ham, it's an obvious, we all knew when you moved into a different stadium, you know, it was worth points at them Upton Park, you know, when you went there because of the intimidation factor. That one, this one now, they've struggled, you know, and Everton would have looked at that. They're not daft. And I think he had Sharpie saying on the news coming in that the ground, what they're looking at the early stages, is going to be like a proper
steep, a bit like Dortmund on top of the pitch. Yeah. Mike, thank you very much indeed. We're going to have to move on.
Cheers, Mike.
Top man, get your calls in, 0151 4720967. Dave will take them. He's a happy Evertonian. But red and blue, and new callers especially, 4720967. Give us a ring on the Radio City Legends between now and 7:30. It's with John Aldridge and Leon Osman.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport, John Aldridge and Leon Osman. In all seriousness, Aldo, are you fit? Are you raring to go for Saturday? You and AK are maybe a little bit of the old-timers in the gang playing Real Madrid?
Yeah. Oh, cameo. Just a cameo, mate. I've been going to the gym the last couple of weeks. I did get disrupted last Friday. I was in town with the lads, you know, Cheltenham. And then Saturday, I got waylaid with the lads Saturday night.
So you're off the training regime, did they?
It was only for a couple of days, as you know. And I battered myself this week.
Don't think the management would be happy with that, Ozzy, would they? John going off the rails, you know.
It was a week before. It doesn't count. He's given himself enough time to prepare.
Nothing at all this week. I've been on a healthy diet. No Liverpool gin this week, Steve. Know what I mean?
Liverpool gin. We're all gin. Roberto Carlos. Is he playing, is he? Roberto?
Yes. Yeah, he's one of
Emilio Butragueño.
Butragueño, who was a great player in his day, and Figo. Right, you know, they're the three big names. But there's some other Campos playing. There's some big names and some very young ex players' names. You know, so yeah.
And the big names for Liverpool, obviously Stevie Gerrard's playing.
Yes, Stephen, and obviously Carragher. You know, amongst some other fantastic ex players, Steve McManaman was playing, Stevie, and Gary McAllister, Robbie. You know, God's playing, and Rushy and so forth. So be
sold out, hasn't it? They should use AK. I forgot to say, when I was on, I did the halftime pitch stuff with AK the other week. When he had to
challenge,
he had to hit the crossbar with five balls, and he hit the crossbar from the edge of the D on the penalty area with two of the balls.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
But it's only bar he does it, because when you go for a pint with him, he never goes there.
Right, let's get our next caller on the Radio City Legends. Give us a shout tonight, 4720967. Next up, we've got Lee. Evening, Lee.
Evening, everybody. Everybody okay?
Hello, Lee.
Good, thanks.
Thanks, guys. It was a question really for John tonight, and not for really wanting to pick up on a slightly negative aspect of our game, John, but one thing that seems to be quite frustrating for us this year is that obvious inability, it seems, to put a really good ball into the box from a corner. And I just wondered, you know, we're seeing sort of the manager switch players at the moment in terms of whether it's Coutinho or Milner, Henderson earlier in the season. I just wonder what your views were as to why we seem to be so ineffective.
Lee, you're spot on. It's not just this year, it's for a long time. It's drove me mad. You know, since Stevie G used to put good balls in, and it's not rocket science. It absolutely drives me nuts. You know, I actually watched England last night. I thought England played, you know, very well against Shane. But Lallana's on the corners, and that England actually looked threatening. When we're on the corners, whether it's Coutinho, Milner, whoever it is, we can have like 12, 13, 14, 15 corners a game. We just don't look like scoring it, isn't it, Lee? It drives you mad, doesn't it? We can't even get past the first man half the time. Now,
I think that's one of the difficult things. You're absolutely right. It's getting that ball over the first man, and you know, as a supporter, you know, we're all looking at the game, thinking, surely the guys are trying this in training over and over again, and yet you compare it to some teams like, of course, I suppose the opposite is West Bromwich Albion, who seem to consistently put that good ball into the 6-yard box.
The one thing I'll say about them, you know, they are probably the best team in and got them where they are on the table because they set plays and free kicks, around the box and corners are absolutely massive for them. And they've got big team, they've got big, strong centre-halves, they've got big, strong forwards. You know, they're a tall side, which helps. Yeah. You know, we're not a big team, which doesn't help any. But you should put the ball into a dangerous area to attack, or just go, what we used to do, knee pokes, flick on. See what happens.
See, that's the thing, though. I mean, West Brom, to put them to one side, they've got the biggest team, they've got so many big guys attacking, and they're all really good at attacking the ball. They're brave, they really want to go at it.
Yeah.
So you can just put a good ball along the 6-yard line and one of them will go get it. When you've got a smaller team like Liverpool probably have, managers try and be a little bit more cute and they'll say, just whip that into the front post area. And the players are trying to put it on a 5-pence piece in the front post area. And the fans just see that he's hitting the front post man all the time and he's hitting the front post man. Whereas if the manager just said, put that in the middle of the box and we'll see how we go, a player would do it more often than not. What you don't realise, managers actually tell players where to put their corners.
Mm.
So sometimes players are really, they're trying to hit exactly where the manager says. I took corners for a while and if the manager just let me get away with it, hit it into the middle, I could get it in.
Mm.
The minute he said, put it to the front post for a flick
on. A bit of pressure.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I was hitting, I barely got it off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But if, so you don't realise sometimes that managers dictate exactly where the corners are told to go.
Would you prefer not to be on corners?
Oh, I like being on the halfway line.
No, look at Coutinho. You'd expect him. Okay, the last game we played, at Anfield, he was really poor. We've been over that.
Yeah.
And he had. I think he took the first 5 or 6 corners. And you know what? Words fail me. Because I could do better. And it's the ability where he has to put it on a sixpence. And it might just be what Ozzy said, the pressure, if you don't get the first one right, every single other one.
Years ago, players had a mind of their own. Say, a manager had told you, right, put it, I want you to hit the front post of that. If a player then did it and he'd go, stuff the manager, I'm going to try and I'll do this next time. But nowadays, players sometimes don't have enough self-belief to say, oh, well, the manager, I'm not doing what he's... I'll just do my own thing and I'll do what I see. Players don't really do that these days. They do exactly what the manager says all the time. They don't do sometimes what they see. And that's the type of thing that happens. Instead of thinking, well, I've hit the front post with the first two corners, I'm going to put this to the back post and tell your mate as he's running up. You're still trying to hit that front post and it might not be your day for it and that you're not getting it right.
But that's a great point. It's a great point, that, Lee, because, you know, if you're streetwise and you see something that's on... which you've not worked on, all of a sudden it opens up and someone's like dead in the ball. You just do it.
But do you just do it? Like Ozzy's saying you don't do it because your manager's...
That's football sometimes. It's become robotic. You know, and players are told to do something and they're scared not to do it, to go away from what they're doing. And you see that all the time in different aspects of the game. You know, it's a really good point there.
Lee, who do you want taking corners for Liverpool?
It's a tough call, really, isn't it? I've always had mixed views on it. I've never, ever thought that our best players should be on the corner spot, in fairness. So it used to drive me nuts when I used to see Gerrard taking them.
Yeah.
As long as it's someone who can put a good ball into the box, really. Because I think with Liverpool, and it's so exciting to watch at times, as during the last couple of years, being so offensive. When we get into these positions and we are winning corners, when we see it coming to, you know... to very little, as we see on a regular basis, as John just alluded to, it just frustrates the life out of you. So it's frustrating. I don't know what the answer is, but you see other teams do it. The thing for you, Ozzy, you mentioned standing on the halfway line. Of course, you were never going to get your head to a ball in that penalty box, were you?
I scored a few goals in my head. I was usually on someone's shoulders, like. But
hey, by the way, just to back up what you were saying, Lee. Go on the stats, and I know we know what stats mean. Liverpool have had the most corners than any other team in the Premiership. And
that's the thing, John.
And I thought we scored probably... We're right down the bottom for scoring goals off them as well.
I know.
That speaks for itself, mate.
Let's just hope that it changes one day soon, anyway.
Well, it needs to, because it's a big part of the game, you know. Especially when we're playing against the so-called lesser
side. West Brom, it's a big part of the game. A lot of their points have come from corners.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
they'll stay in the game and take the opportunity to set pieces. So why wouldn't you take as many opportunities as you can?
Lee, excellent point. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
There we go. Just a minute to 7 o'clock. Give a shout-out to Rhian Brewster, who's been playing for the England under 17, scored twice as they beat Croatia 5-3. It's not bad in his call up, is it?
Local girl, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's she from?
Rhianne Brewster.
Yeah, where about Liverpool? Should have this written down, Steve.
No, Rhianne Brewster, the under 17 men's player.
Rhianne's a lady's name.
No, Rhianne Brewster. He's a 17-year-old.
Is he? I apologise. Well done anyway, Ryan.
It's Ryan.
Maybe Ryan. I thought you said Rihanna. Well done, Steve. What a fine mess you got me into.
No, Rhianne, well done.
Well done, mate.
2 goals for him. And also to Lindsay and Trammy, who rang Dave, our producer, didn't want to come on air, but said she's met you and she thinks you're an inspiration, John. And she says she can't get enough of listening to you on the radio. So Lindsay and Trammy.
Really nice. By the way, that's nice. Thank you. You mean Brewster, who's playing for Liverpool, the young lad?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was his first name, but I thought he's a real. He's a good player, then, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a chance.
He's got a chance.
He was called up with, I'm trying to think who the other player was who was called up in the under 17s. It's not Trent, is it? It's one of the others. I'll find out in a moment or two. A couple of the headlines then. Gini Wijnaldum, he's fit for the game with Bulgaria. John feels he's dug himself the biggest hole ever now.
Oh, he's a very good player.
I hope you bump into him next week.
Yeah, it's your fault. You said Rihanna.
No, I said Rihanna.
You know, I'm deaf and that ear.
Yeah, both ears. So, Gini Wijnaldum took a blow to his head the other day in training, but he is fit for the game with Bulgaria. So, let's hope he stays fit until he comes back off international duty. Right, before we go to a break, we are going to do look who's scoring. Here's just a quick thought from Ronnie Moran, who came in to do a programme with John Keith. So, we thought we'd play you a quick minute of this. This is Ronnie Moran's thoughts on modern day football, a little bit of a tribute to the man himself.
You know, as I say, it's altogether changed now, the football. You know, as the main thing I think I was telling you before, it doesn't change when you cross the line for matches. You've got to put all your effort and everything in. It's all right doing this on the training ground and that, because this is where, when, to me, I've always said to people, when Shanks joined the club, 59, he made it what it is today. Because them days, when we're doing pre-season, you got went to Anfield, got changed, and you run from Anfield to Melwood. You know, it was like a marathon, actually, because you had to go there. You got to Melwood, and then you started doing work up with balls and that, mostly running and everything.
Yeah.
And then when Shanks come, he cut it off. He says, you don't run on the road during matches, so we're not running on the road now.
A little bit of intelligence from Shanks there. You shouldn't be running from Anfield to Melwood.
Certainly. Now, I've read a few Shank tributes books, and it's so interesting because he was a Preston before when he started. That was like in them days that more psychology progression than any other club, and because they were a little bit ahead of the time, and Shankly brought that into Liverpool. It's all basic stuff as we know now, but you know, he was far ahead of his time.
Advanced things. It was interesting to hear the first thing he said there, talking to John Keith, which he said football hasn't changed when you cross the white line.
Yeah, it's the same
game,
and he's not wrong. You know, the principles are still the same. The desire you need to go out there, and the heart and bravery you need to go and put on a show. They haven't changed over the years.
Strictly John Keith with Ronnie Moran. I'm going to replay that on Radio City Talk at 9 o'clock next Wednesday. So a full hour of Ronnie in conversation with John. So make sure you tune in for that one. 7:03. We'll take a short break on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. And then we'll be doing Look Who's Scoring.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7:07, it's Radio City Talk. It's the Legends. Let's do a bit of Look Who's Scoring with Aldo and Leon Osborne.
Before we start, I want to, I got a lot of stick last week for me Peter Beardsley shout. Everywhere I've gone all week, I've got a lot of stick with Peter Beardsley shouting. I think it was a bit harsh, to be honest. Peter Crouch married a model. Peter Crouch married a model. Lincoln, everyone plays above their game at times. Yeah. Lincoln City played above their game and did well in the cup, play above their level.
And Crouchy's punching above his weight, isn't he?
Well, punching above his weight. Yeah. And so was Beardo. So I just feel like I got a bit of unnecessary stick there.
That's one of the best guesses ever, wasn't it?
Do you know what it
did? Some stick about that this week, you know.
I think he plotted that because I was in stitches for the next 5 minutes. I could have got down to before him other than that because I was too busy laughing my head off.
Right, so you understand the rules of the game now, Ozzy. Throw in a proper name, otherwise will get caned for it. Let's start off for 5 points then. So this won't contribute to your battle with Sharpie. These are one-off affairs with Ozzy, just to see who's got the better game intelligence. Yeah. 5 points. This player was born in 1976. So he's what, 41. Played for three Premier League clubs. Never won a trophy. One of his clubs was West Ham. What do you think? One of his clubs was West Ham. Oh, I'm having trouble starting. Let's have a go. There we go. Got the countdown clock up and running. No.
Benny Hoon.
Yossi.
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it? Really was.
Any ideas, Ozzy?
Nope.
Okay. 4 points. 60 goals. 60 goals in 171 league games in England.
That's good, eh? That's not bad.
That's a brilliant ratio. His middle name is Caesar or Cesar. Depending on how John wants to pronounce it, because he seems to have different pronunciations for names. So, Caesar. So, 60 goals in 171 league games in England. Middle name is Caesar.
What's his name? I don't know. He played for Middlesbrough.
Go on, have a go.
The grey-haired fella played for Middlesbrough.
Who is it?
Ravenelli.
No. This is getting farcical.
No. Any ideas, Ozzy?
Have a guess, mate. No, I'm not prepared to have a guess yet. Right, I'll just get ridiculed.
Exactly. 3 points, right. Also,
Peter Beasley.
You should have done Peter Beasley today. Dave, the producer, you missed a trick there. 3 points. Also played for Man City. And has managed a national team in the last 3 years. He's been a manager for a national team in the last 3 years. Come on, with that goal ratio as well, who played for Manchester City?
Paolo Wanchope.
Get in there.
I don't know.
Paolo Wanchope.
Thank you, mate. You're better than Sharpie.
Do you remember him? His other English club was Derby County. And for 1 point, Dave said, his second name is something you put in a barbecue. Wanchope.
Like that one. So, who's he managed then?
Which international team? Was it Costa Rica?
Costa Rica
it was, yeah.
I didn't know that, though. I was just...
Wow. Hey, very good guess, that one, Ozzy.
How many points was that for?
Two. Was that two?
Oh, 3 points.
I was three, that.
I was a three.
Really good. You're
winning me 5-0.
5-0.
This is like a separate league.
Yeah. He's good, this fella, isn't he?
But the problem was, after you laughed at his Peter Beardsley, he was on an absolute mission this week not to lose, wasn't he? There was absolutely no way. Look who's scoring returns on Monday.
That. I don't think I'd have got that. Sorry, I got the barbecue one, I'd have got it then.
One chop.
I've got a chance of beating this fella every week.
Yeah, you've got his side his head now, haven't you? Right, before we get to our next caller, who's a blue, just a quick thought on Divock Origi, who's given some quotes. He's been away with the Belgian national team, and he's been talking about not playing enough, John. He says, bit frustrating that I don't play a lot. Been a while since I've played a few games in a row. Easier last year because we were in the Europa League. As a result, there were more chances then. This season, it's difficult. At the end of this season, I'll make an assessment. I need to remain calm. What do you read into that?
I think Liverpool will be making the assessment, not Divock Origi, to be quite honest. And if we were in the Europa League this year, he'd be getting his games there because he's not been good enough to play in the best 11 that we put out. If I'm brutally honest, you know, since he got that knock at the Derby last year, you know, he was doing really well, to be fair to me, at that specific moment in time. He had a great run of games. And we thought, oh, yeah, you know, you can see his ability now. Since then, I'm afraid, he scored five goals early on in the season, which he didn't have great games, but at least he was scoring goals. Mm. But we're not seeing him this year. When we needed him, you know, when Manny was away in January. We needed him or Sturridge to stand up and be counted. Neither did, for one reason or another. And unfortunately, you know, I'm looking at him now and I'm thinking, is he good enough if you want to vie against the best in the league, the top teams of the league? Is he good enough to be in your squad? And I think the manager will assess it, not Divock Origi. He's got to do an awful lot better than what he's done this year. If he did, he'd be in the team. It's as simple as that. The manager's seen him in training, seen him in games, and that's why he's been sitting on his backside on the bench.
You see a talent in him, don't you, Ozzy?
I think looking across the park, I think at times I've watched him and thought, he's got a bit of talent. You know, you see he's fast, he seems quite big, he looks like, you know, he's capable of getting headers and scoring goals. So looking across the park, you know, you think that there's a player there, and at times I've been surprised they've not played him more. But just listening to his statement there, saying, you know, if there was Europa League games, I'd have played there. Well, that's defeated. That's defeatist attitude, in my opinion. He's basically saying, well, I'm obviously not going to get a game there, so I might have got a game in Europe if there was more games, or if Liverpool had more games, I might get a game there. And that's not screaming of, why aren't I playing? And I should be in the team. And that's it sounds like a defeated attitude. And if that's the case, I think the writing's on the wall at the end of the season.
And do you know what? You're all right, Ozzy. He's got every attribute that you need to be. He's quick, he's strong. You know, he lacks a bit of intelligence, you know, on the pitch for me a little bit. And sometimes he should get stuck in a bit more. But he does work, you know, he will work, you know, across the land. And the crowd, you know, love that when he does it. They sing his name for that. But you need to have a little bit more than that to be a top player. But one thing I will say, isn't it always when the players go away with the international sides that they get caught with the pants down?
Especially with Belgium. Well, Romelu loves a good chat with the Belgian media.
But what happens, they go away from the environment and then they get caught on the hop with other, you know, people and other journalists, and they let themselves go and something slips out and then it goes against them. He's done it again.
OK, it's the Radio City Legends, 01514720967. And next caller we got is Joe in Chilwell. Hello, Joe.
Evening, boys. You okay?
Hello, Joe.
Well, I mean, good news today, but although I was disappointed we never announced it outside your house, to be honest.
I don't know, Joe, yeah. Absolutely, mate. Or in the pub in Bolton, yeah. With the lads on a Sunday. That's great news for you, Joe. No, all joking apart, it's great news for Evertonians, mate. You know, it really is. And for the city, as I said before.
I mean, it's a massive step forward, isn't it? I mean, Ozzy, we might have won more than the Roar Against Racism Cup if we'd have got this while you were playing. obviously, 1995, I was two when we won the FA Cup. But I mean, it's too early to say. People are like discussing getting Farhad Moshiri tattooed on me that great at the minute. But it's too early to say. It's too early to judge where we're going to go. Obviously, we've got this thing with Barkley and Lukaku, and obviously, like I said, this is a step forward. But it's where we go in the summer. Elston's come out and said we're gonna make effort around the fans. Every step, the fans are gonna be involved along the way. we need players to play there. We need world class players to play there. Obviously, you've got one player there who's a world class finisher. He's a world class footballer in Lukaku. If he goes, what's that saying to players? Like looking at Everton, saying, you know what, they are stepping forward, but don't want to go there if the best players are leaving all the time. And I think either keeping hold of him or replacing him with someone on par with them. I think that's what you need to look at in the summer. You need to look at, unfortunately, you've got Jags on the way out, you've got Barry, he's getting there, you've got, obviously, next Saturday's a big game in Everton's history, in my opinion. If Schneiderlin plays, we've got a chance. If he doesn't, I think it's curtains for Everton. But there's this point in the season now where you're looking at thinking, it's a top six league at the minute, isn't it? We've got to get that top six. If we get that top six this season, and you've got that stadium to look forward, obviously it's going to be a few years yet, but surely that's going to attract players to want to come to the city and want to play for Everton. I'm just thinking there's a lot of things there inviting people to play for us. Obviously you've got, it's a part of history, isn't it? Now it's not.
Well, hang on, let Ozzy answer that then. Will it entice players to come and play at Everton, having a brand new massive stadium
on the
dock?
Absolutely, you know, if you come into a brand new stadium, it's got all the facilities that you'd need, and people really look forward to playing in places like that, then it's certainly going to entice people. But he's right, as Joe, that when he says that, you know, it's about what happens on the field as well. And I said last week about the club's moving forward, and I feel it's moving forward at a good pace. Every transfer window, we're signing better quality. We're paying a lot of money for new players. The Lukaku issue came out, and yeah, I think we need to try our best to hold on to him if we can. You know, as was stated there, it sends out all the wrong signals if we're letting a player of that stature go. But if he does have to go, we cut our losses and we spend the money wisely on another influx of top players. And I also feel it'd be great if we could qualify for Europe. It'd be fantastic if it was sixth, if we could, you know, maybe pip Arsenal or United or even Liverpool to the into them top six places. But, you know, the way things are going in the FA Cup, that the seventh place could open up for Europe as well. And that wouldn't be a bad first season for Ronald Koeman, because major steps have been taken both on and off the field.
It gets you into different lights. People see it into Europe, you know, and the Europa Cup, once you're in the last 16, it gets very interesting. I think the one thing, what you're saying is obviously the Lukaku scenario. From the outside looking in, you know, I can't see him waiting for 2 to 3 years for the stadium being built. You know, loyalty in the game, I'm sorry, there's very little loyalty in the game this day and age. I'll be very surprised if he's with Everton next year, personally. But what Everton have got to do is get the right numbers for him and reinvest with the right players, you know, to get the goals what he scored.
Joe, nice one. Thank you very much. Just got to squeeze one more caller in. Super stuff. It's Tom in Litherland, who finishes off the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Hello, Tom.
Evening, gents. How are you?
Hello, evening. Tom.
Well, God be honest, it's been an unbelievably long day. Obviously, I don't know about you, mate, but since I got the score, I've been waiting. I've checked every single media channel that's available on the internet, TV, radio. But obviously the news now over the Bramley Moor, it's a massive step forward with this club. But I'm 48 years of age, and it's got to be the biggest thing for Everton that I can remember in my age. You know, obviously the atmosphere at Everton Football Club at Goodison is superb. The fans are like no other. I mean, all clubs probably say the same thing, but we know different. We haven't really had much to shout about. This is something to shout about now. It's progression. It's fantastic for the city business-wise. No, even though I think there has been some sort of media blackout, although, because a lot of Liverpool fans don't seem to have heard about what's been going on. They seem to be, you know, completely ignorant of the fact that there are steps being made, or some just don't give a monkey, so they've been saying to me. But, you know, at the end of the day, they've got a nice little stand there as well, so, you know, it's not all there.
he's not ignoring you, he's just gone to the other side of the room at the moment, so he can't hear you properly in his headphones. So Ozzy will answer the question, though.
No, yeah, it's fantastic, and you know, to have been watching the news all day, and as you say, waiting to hear exactly what it is that's coming out. It's great that we finally now, you know, we're well on the way. We're making progress. We've still got to find the planning permission, and I think that in itself will take time, because you have to show exactly what is you want to do and what you want to build, and I think that would take time to make sure we get the right stadium. But, as you say, it's great news moving forward. It will move the club forward. It will help to keep up with the teams that are able to generate so much cash on a match day, which we've been struggling with. And it's all positive.
The cost of the stadium has been earmarked at around £300 million to £400 million maximum. But people have got to think as well, you know, they're asking the question, but now Everton are going to fund this and blah, blah, blah. Mr. Usmanov from Arsenal, who we all know, you know, it's not hidden the fact that he is a massive business partner with Fahad Meshiri, also owns one of the biggest steel companies in the world. And I've got a funny feeling he's not going to be sat back at Arsenal doing nothing. I think he will help his business friend Fahad Meshiri as far as like the steel erecting goes. And that's a massive chunk. That is a huge chunk of money. But again, he's already stated his intent himself on the outside of things by giving us £75 million sponsor money. Sponsor, not ownership, but sponsor money for Finch Farm, for the naming rights. So it shows his incentive as well, and I know, and the progress that Everton could possibly make in the future. I don't think he's going to sit there at Arsenal and remain just at Arsenal. I'm not saying he'll give up his shares, because he's an Arsenal fan, he made that quite clear, and good luck to the man. But I don't think he's going to allow VAR. I just think, you know, he'll struggle on trying to do things himself, though I'm sure he's more than capable. Ozzy, you know, and right now, like I said, at 48 years of age, there's a party going on in my head right now, mate, and I wish you were invited and you were there, because it's just amazing. It's the biggest thing.
It's amazing how many Evertonians
have reacted
on this way
today. I feel like I'm on
this
party from here, mate.
Hey, Ozzy, it's even better than the party that you must have had walking past the bar that I was sat in bedded up when you walked past me, like the rest of the, you had a big Mexican hat on your head.
Do you remember that?
What
was this?
You wouldn't remember it. I did.
We must be going back a few years here.
It's about 3 or 4 years ago, I think, now.
He's a thorough professional. He's a thoroughbred. He wouldn't be doing that. It is a massive statement of intent, though, isn't it? Just a final word. I've got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah,
I think.
It's a big statement of intent. It's great from Farhad Moshiri, from Mr. Usmanov as well, who, you know, seems to be silently backing the whole thing. And,
well, Tom mentioned that.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, if things don't work out at Arsenal, I wouldn't be surprised to see me making his way up here as well. But as you say, the whole project has been started. We've been crying out for it for a number of years now, and it's great to see we're finally moving in that direction.
Nice one, Ozzy. Thank you. Thank you, Aldo, as well. Thanks, Tom, for that final that pointer. Loads of Evertonians over the moon today. Plenty more reaction to the news about the stadium and the site at Bramley Moor tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk from 7 a.m. Sharpie's going to join me for a bit of that show. Legends returns on Monday night.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.